Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast, which aims to showcase the work and voices of some of the best parent bloggers around. I'm Tim, from the blog Slouching Towards Thatcham, which is all about my life as a father of 3 young children. Every week on the show, I'll be saying hello to a special guest who will introduce and read one of their favourite posts for your listening pleasure. And I will do the same with one of mine. It's as simple as that. Bite-sized chunks of blogging brilliance. This week I'm delighted to be joined by fellow dad blogger and BritMum's Live keynote speaker, Dave from the Dad Venturer. Hello there, Dave.
Hey Tim, how you doing?
Great to have you on the podcast. Well, maybe you could start by just telling us a little bit about yourself and the blog.
Yeah, no problem. So my name's Dave and I blog over at the Dad Venturer. Really, that's a place where I just share my random musings on life as a husband, a dad and a sausage dog owner.
The last being the most important, obviously.
Well, exactly. You've got to make him feel like he's still wanted after a baby came into his life.
So could you just give us a little bit of background about the post you've chosen to read today?
The post I'm reading is called 3 Possible Future Careers for Baby L. I thought it'd be interesting to sort of take a tongue-in-cheek look at the type of jobs that she'd be good at if it was based on her, well, very limited current skills, experiences and abilities.
Excellent. So in that case, I'll hand it over to you. Away you go.
Okay, great. Cheers, Tim. It's funny thinking that my baby daughter will not always be a baby. She's already altered so much in 10 months, and it appears that these changes will only get quicker and more drastic as time progresses. These changes don't really scare me, though. I'm more than happy to embrace all of the stuff that comes with her growing up, although I'm not quite ready for boys and periods just yet. Thinking about the future is quite strange, though, particularly as there's so many unknowns. What will she look like? What will her personality be like? Where will she live? What will make her happy? What will she be interested in? What will her job be? Although some things won't be defined until way in the future, I think there are certain elements that are already starting to shine through and give us a glimpse of the future adult L. I'd like to think that she's showing some of the skills, attributes and abilities that she may need for her chosen career or careers in the future. With this in mind, here are 3 possible career paths that Baby L may choose to go down based on her current skill set. Number 1. Thief, pickpocket or burglar. This isn't quite the aspirational career I want my daughter to pursue. I'd imagine that staying on the right side of the law is always the preferred choice of any parent. Having said that though, the guys from Ocean's 11 had a pretty good extravagant life, so perhaps I'm being too quick to write this off as a viable alternative. Why do I think that she may be heading down the same path as a Catwoman? Well, she just loves to steal everything. Like most criminal activity, it started off with the small things before escalating to more high-end items. Coasters were replaced by car keys, pieces of paper were exchanged for mobile phones, and the dog's toys soon made way for handbags and purses. The latter is a particular worry. If she sees an unoccupied bag, she's over to it in a flash. Within seconds, she's managed to not only get in the bag, but also rummage through and steal something of value. I actually found her with a £10 note the other day, which she'd plucked out of my wallet. It's not all bad news, though. I'm starting to turn her skills to my advantage. When we're out at baby classes, I'll often create a diversion to allow her to wander over to a bag and find something of value. In just a few weeks, we've already managed to acquire 85 quid in cash, 2 credit cards, 3 car keys, and a few tampons. Number 2. A wrestler, cage fighter, or a boxer. Baby L is well on her way to having a career in a violent sport. I'm not quite sure as to which she'd be most suited to, but her 10 and a bit months on this planet have certainly shown she's got a taste for brutality. She may be small and cute, but underestimate her at your peril. Whereas some babies may accidentally scratch, nip, or bite, there is nothing accidental about it when Baby L crawls forward. The girl thrives on blood, and often lets out a little giggle as you yelp in pain at her no-holds-barred attitude. I don't wish to make light of domestic abuse, but I do sometimes feel like I'm suffering from it at the hands of my daughter. I've been battered and bruised continually for the last few months. As I write this, I currently have a bloody scratch mark on my top lip from her Freddy Krueger-esque fingernails. But that's not all. I often find that I am in danger of a serious beating if my head is anywhere near those cute but deadly little hands. Eyes, nose, tongue, lips, ears and hair are all objects of intrigue and violence as she grabs, picks and jabs my facial features. Failing to wear a t-shirt around the sprog is also a big no-no as it ends in pain. She particularly likes twisting my nipple, grabbing my chest hair and trying to pull off a mole on my stomach. I'm sure you'll agree, all of these techniques may be a little untoward, but would give her the advantage if she was ever in the ring or octagon. Are we looking at a future UFC women's strawweight champion or WWE Divas champion? It may be too early to tell, but she's certainly showing that she's got the skills. Number 3, chef, food critic or competitive eater. Baby Elle is a big fan of food. In fact, most of her life revolves around eating. So it's hardly surprising to predict that food may still play such a big part in her future career. She's been eating solid since just before she was 6 months old. During this time, she tried plenty of different foods with seemingly the same end result, a love for anything edible. The possibilities are endless in terms of food-related jobs. She could use her culinary skills to become a food critic or a leading chef with a host of Michelin-star restaurants. This could lead to cookbooks, TV shows, her own range of condiments, and, ultimately, loads of money to look after the missus and I in our old age. She's already a fan of weird concoctions. I may have fed her prawns in porridge and chicken in strawberry yogurt in an attempt to boost her calorie intake. But this isn't the only way she could become rich. She could also potentially become a competitive eater with the ability to wolf down huge amounts of food in minutes, which could lead to her own baby versus food TV series. She already has a deceptively large appetite for someone so small, which suggests a career such as this may not be too unrealistic. Failing that, she could always just pile on the pounds and become a huge fatty. In a culture which provides notoriety and fame for those who are different, she could cash in on the huge appetite by appearing on Embarrassing Bodies and A Year to Save My Life, or even a Channel 5 documentary such as The 50 Stone Baby. Those are Baby Elle's three most likely careers based on her current abilities at 10 and a half months old. I'm sure the next few months we'll see additional skills and potential careers become apparent.
Thanks for reading this post for us, Dave. I'm sure most, if not all, of us parents can associate with each of those and probably add a few other alternative career paths for our children. We look forward in about 20 years' time to seeing adult Elle appearing on Crime Watch, UFC or The Great British Bake Off. Thank you very much for taking the time to join me on this week's podcast, though.
No problem. Thanks, Tim.
If you want to read more of Dave's writing, go to his blog, The Dad Venturer, at thedadventurer.com. Or follow him on Twitter at @the_dadventurer. I'll attach links to both of those and to the post he's just read on the show notes over on SloutingTowardsThatcham.com. Unlike Dave, I've never been a stay-at-home dad, but I do know what it's like having to fend for myself without the safety net of having mummy close to hand. Earlier this year, my wife was away in South Africa with work, leaving me to fend for myself with three kids during what became known as Single Dad Week. This is my end of week report, looking back on an eventful 6 days. The real stars of Single Dad Week. In some respects, we thrived. In others, we merely survived. But I'm glad to report that Single Dad Week drew to a close with all children still present and accounted for. I counted them all out, and I counted them all back again. 6 days. 3 children. 1 father. Keeping it all together, barely, with a combination of seat-of-the-pants brinksmanship and plentiful supplies of paracetamol and Pinot Noir. Actually, that's not entirely true. It was mostly Rioja rather than Pinot Noir. Truth be told, I enjoyed my taster of single parenthood. 2 days in, I was feeling pretty comfortable. Breakfast time became a daily highlight, and I was even able to joke about the pressure of getting everyone out of the door every morning. However, the real stars of the week were the kids themselves. They may only be 7, 5, and not quite 3, but I couldn't have asked for much more of them during what was a tiring week all around. Isaac, the mature and responsible big brother. Toby, the mummy's boy, who quietly dealt with Heather's absence by snuggling up to me instead, and being generally helpful in so many ways. And last, but by no means least, Cara, who took the lack of mummy in her stride, and didn't throw a single diva strop throughout 6 days, setting a new personal best by 5 days, 23 hours and 55 minutes. The three of them did things together. They did things separately. They did things both with and without me, such as, more or less, getting themselves dressed on time. For a trio of kids who are all very close to their mother, fuss was kept to a minimum, and I only had to tell them off on a handful of occasions. We had breakfast together. We did bath time and bedtime together. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't all fun and games and smiles at every turn, but even when tiredness and boredom gave way to grumpiness and the occasional sibling niggle, they were never beyond my ability to control. It was almost as if they'd made some kind of secret pact between themselves, in which they agreed not to give me a hard time. All three of them were stars, and fully deserved the suitcase of presents that Heather brought back for them from Johannesburg. Of course, it was no surprise when they all flocked to her the moment she walked through our front door on Saturday morning, but I did notice that none of them ignored me completely. And my favourite moment of the entire week came later that day when Toby, normally the least tactile and empathetic of our children, sidled up to me, threw his arms around me to give me a cuddle, and said with a little smile, "Thank you, Daddy. I had a really good time." Really, I didn't do anything special last week. But the kids did, proving to me just how grown up they're becoming. Actually, I like to think all four of us grew up a little bit over the course of those 6 days. And that's it for this episode of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast. If you'd like to listen to either future or previous episodes, you'll find them published on the blog and also on iTunes and various other podcasting sites. You can follow me on the blog at slouchingtowardsthatcham.com, on Twitter at ThatchamDad, and on various other social media channels that I won't bore you with now by listing them in their entirety. You'll find links to all of the above, plus Dave's links, in the show notes on the blog. All that remains for me is to say thank you all for listening to this podcast, and hopefully you'll join me again next week. Until then, goodbye.